Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
It's so exciting to have you on the show today, and I'm so ready to hear kind of your journey and where you've been and how you solved it. Yeah, because that's what people really want to figure out. They want to see that there's hope and that there's a solution, and
right.
they lean on people like you. Seeing that that's been done when you're kind of in the toughest of tough.
Yes, we're super excited to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
I am excited to be here, and it gives me a different angle or approach to tell my story.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I appreciate that.
So tell me, how old are you now?
I am 30 years old now.
And how long, when did you first kind of show signs of Lyme in any way?
So I want to start way back. I grew up on a farm. And so as kids, we were bit by ticks and mosquitoes all the time. And it was one of those deals, being with the animals and hunting and fishing and all that, you just picked the tick off or, smacked the mosquito or whatever and just kept going.
Go about your day.
Yeah, right. I don't know for sure when I got Lyme. I know that, looking back, my first weird symptoms that showed up happened in July of 2013. And I got major flu-like symptoms. I actually thought it was maybe food poisoning at first. And then things just kept building and building. I ended up in the hospital. I was hospitalized for 2 days, and we ran every test under the sun and no answers. Everything was normal. My labs, the scans, everything was perfectly fine. Yet I had these severe flu-like symptoms. So I was released to go back home, and they said, well, it's just something viral. It needs to work its course and you'll be fine. And it was about 2 weeks. I just did not feel good. I thought, okay, if this is the flu, I'll just snap out of it. And I didn't. I had major fatigue, headaches, and dizziness. I remember the weirdest part too was that my lungs, I couldn't get my breath. It felt like I was losing my air a lot. I remember a lot of times family members taking me back into the clinic because I feel like I'm going to pass out. It was severe, and they'd give me fluids and some oxygen stuff, and that was about it.
So did they see that your oxygen was low, or that your fluid, that you're dehydrated, or they just did that to do something?
I was a little bit dehydrated. So the fluids helped with that, but no, my oxygen, everything was completely normal.
Yeah. So just want to kind of throw something at you because they didn't know what to do.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
Yep. And it was hard. The doctor that was helping me, I remember the look on her face. She felt so helpless. So it was hard seeing it on her end too, of not knowing what to do.
Right. So then they send you home, and then what takes place?
So it was actually a month or two later, I was pregnant with our first child. And I had just continued life because that's what I was told, it was just viral.
There's nothing wrong with you. You'll be okay. Right.
Yep. And so I went throughout pregnancy. I was really sick throughout pregnancy. It was a tough pregnancy. I was tired all the time, just very sick. And I got better. Things were normal, you know. But then after I delivered our baby, the fatigue kept, I mean, it stayed there. The headaches, trying to think what else I had. I had joint pain. My hormones were just a mess. I had no energy, you know, so I'm left sitting there thinking, how am I supposed to take care of this little baby? And I feel like crap.
Right.
So, I went to numerous doctors and my women's doctor and everybody, trying to figure out, you know, why am I feeling this way? And that was really hard because everybody I went to, they said, well, you're a young mom, you know, being a young mom, it's going to make you tired. And to a point, you know, but I thought, okay, well, maybe this is just how life's going to be, you know. And things kind of kept getting worse. And they wanted to prescribe me antidepressants, anxiety medication, and muscle relaxants. So
which works every time when you're fatigued and you can't, can't get out of bed, and then muscle relaxant and antidepressants.
It's so frustrating. I just thought that's how I was and I was just gonna have to live that way. And then it was in July of 2017, so you go forward 3 years. My parents, they've done a lot of doctoring in Mexico, actually in Tijuana. It's with Dr. Calzada at BioAdvanced Medical Center. And some of that family, they've done doctoring there for 20-some years. So they're like, well, what can it hurt? We'll just take you down there and see what they say. So at first I'm like, I don't want to go into Mexico. You know, why can't I get my answers here? Why can't I figure this out here?
Right. There has got to be more than just one doctor that can figure out what's wrong with you, you would think.
Yeah. So I decided to go. I'm like, what's it going to hurt? To see what they say. And I went down there, and so that what they use is a black light microscope to look at the blood and see what's in the blood cells. And within 5-10 minutes, I mean, I gave them my list of symptoms, everything I was experiencing, gave that to them. They took my blood from my finger and they put it under the black light microscope. And within 5 minutes, they found that I had the bacteria in my blood.
Yeah, it's amazing. We have one like that at the center as well. I mean, it's just amazing what you can see, you know, with those, you know, and they have different names for it, like dark field microscopy or black light or, you know, a live cell.
Not a lot of doctors have them.
No.
But they are pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Then, do you have one at your clinic?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So and that's the thing. I mean, with Borrelia or Lyme, I mean, that's truly the best way. I mean, if you can actually see it, which is what you can with that, then there's no question. There it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So you got your diagnosis then.
I did. And I mean, I had no idea what Lyme was. I mean, I had never heard of it before.
Join the club.
Yeah. I remember looking around the clinic there and seeing all these very sick young people. There were people my age at the time, like with walkers and wheelchairs and having seizures. And I remember thinking, gosh, I'm glad I don't have whatever they have. You know, you sit there and look at them and think that, and because on the outside I looked fine. Mm-hmm. So, and
did
then,
you find out that they all had Lyme?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Come to find
not
out,
a good picture to find out that this is what you have. You know, you're happy that somebody gave you a diagnosis, but then once we figure out what Lyme is, we're like, we really don't want to have that.
Because you think once you have the diagnosis, and there's got to be something just to fix it, get mm-hmm. rid of it. And when you find out that, you know, with Lyme, it's just not that easy.
No, and that was my first thought. Like, they told me that the bacteria was in my blood. And I thought, well, great. You know, I have an answer. I know what's going on. So let's clean out my blood. Let's get this out of my system and let's move on with life. You know, mm-hmm. I had no idea what the next years of my life was going to bring.
No. So you got there, they found out that, you know, you have the bacteria in your blood. So what did they propose? I mean, what kind of plan did they initiate?
So down there, we immediately started IV chelation therapy. Let's see, we did chelation, colonics, the ionic spa detox foot bath, mm-hmm. magnet therapy, stem cell injections, and that's the stem cells from animals. Glutathione and massage therapy. You go through all these therapies while you're there in their clinic. And then they send you, so you're there, I think I was there for like 5 days doing treatments.
Okay.
And then they send you home with like 4 to 6 months worth of homeopathics, your radionic drops, and oral stem cells, and then whatever else vitamins they would like you to be on. But while I was there that first time, the first 2 days of receiving the treatments, I felt amazing.
Awesome.
It was awesome. I had so much energy, and I'm like, hey, I think this is how I'm supposed to truly feel.
Right. Even if you have a baby.
Right. But it was the third day of treatments that everything hit me hard. I mean, I was having panic attacks. It almost felt like I was having a stroke. I mean, and that's another thing too. The brain fog was just horrible, even before being in Mexico. And so kind of like throughout the rest of my week there, I had trouble walking. It's like my legs gave out on me. I had to have assistance with that. They had to put me on oxygen. And the way they described it was everything was trying to detox out of my system, and my body didn't know how to respond to it.
Right. And that makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of times what happens is that, you know, kind of the first few days in the body, then you're kind of clearing out what's just floating around in the body. And so now and you feel great, you know, when that is taking place, because now it's not floating around. But then all of a sudden that opens up the storages, you know. So now the body sees, oh, it's clean in the living room. So now we can open up all the closet doors and just pour all the stuff in the closets into the living room to be getting rid of. And then you feel horrible.
Yeah.
So how long? So you were there for 5 days. Did you feel horrible all 5 days then? Or what happened?
I would say 3 of the 5 days. But then coming home, it continued. I mean, I felt horrible. The emotions, everything was coming out. And I actually, like, I felt so horrible that I'm like, I feel like I've been poisoned. Yeah, it's just like you just take a bunch of poison. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. And how did you kind of, because you start to think then, well, this got to be bad for me. I mean, I'm feeling worse. You know, this got to be bad for me. I mean, what happened in your head while all of this was going on?
I did. I mean, I was terrified. I thought, what have I gotten myself into? I feel worse now than I did when I first started all this.
Before you went, yeah.
Yeah, it was terrifying. And then I knew in 4 to 6 months, I had to go back. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's going to happen the next time, you know?
Right. And so did you kind of stay when you were home? you know, they call it home care or whatever you want to call it, all the supplements and stuff they sent you home with. So you did that every day. Did you get worse? Did you kind of stay the same? Did you have increased symptoms?
I would say I got better.
Okay, I mean, over those months that you were home.
Yeah, it took time. I had to be strict on my nutrition. So I cut out gluten, dairy, and sugar, and that made a huge difference. So yeah, I was feeling a lot better. Like a lot of my symptoms from before decreased quite a bit.
That's wonderful. And so when how long did it start? So you had the crises kind of initially. How long did it take before you start to kind of feel like, oh, maybe this is working?
You know, that was so far back. I feel like I would say probably 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because I remember I was still working. And I remember, I was a mental health counselor. And so having those conversations with my clients, my head was very clear. You know, the conversations were really good. I'm like, hey, I can actually, my brain's actually working.
I remember who you are today.
Yeah.
And then it was time to go back again.
Yep. I had to go back. I think I went back, in 6 months from the first time I had been there. The second and third trip there, was perfectly fine. I mean, all my treatments went really well. They were very pleased with what they were seeing with my blood. Had a very good turnout the rest of the time.
That's awesome. Yeah, so it was kind of that initial that opened up all the doors and things start to kind of flood out. So what type of homeopathics did you do the same homeopathic throughout, or did they adjust the type of homeopathics?
They adjust it, and they use, it's called radionics, and so they can read and scan the body to see what you're needing at that time. So they adjusted the mixtures every time.
And the radionics, you can do that on a distance. So is that what they were doing then? And then adjust the dosages kind of in between visits?
Nope, that was all done in their clinic.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. So how long and so your diet mostly consisted, all you did was in cutting out gluten, dairy, and sugar, or did you do other changes as well?
Nope, I just cut out those three things. And I wasn't 100% on it like I should have probably been. But yeah, mainly cutting out those and then taking my vitamins and supplements that they sent me with.
And then when you went back, they were looking at your blood again, I would assume, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And how, what was the changes? What were the changes that you saw when you looked at your blood?
My blood cells were amazing. So the first time that I went, I could literally see the Lyme bacteria eating away at my blood cells on the screen. Mm-hmm. That was a little uncomfortable.
Very freaky, yes.
Yes. I could see the eggs that were inside of my blood cells. That part really freaked me out because I'm like, okay, this stuff's inside my body, you know? And then my next trips there, my blood cells looked amazing. I mean, just perfect, healthy blood cells like they should be.
That's awesome.
Very awesome. So you said you had gone back 2 additional times. Were there 6 months in between those times?
Okay.
Yep. So that was kind of their protocol. Every 6 months, come back for a checkup and adjust your meds if needed.
Yep. And so they determined that I was in stage 2 Lyme. And so they allowed me to come every 6 months. Some people, they want you to come every 4 months. Okay. So that's kind of where I was with that.
So did they explain the staging system to you? I mean, how is worse being stage 1 or stage 4? I mean, what is the worst?
So stage 1 and 2 is your very early stages. And then it builds up. So stage like 3 and 4. And then I think there might be a stage 5. I'm not 100% sure on that. But the higher you go up, the worse it gets.
And then it just need more intensive care and more kind of a closer eye. So when did they determine that you're now, you know, you're complete remission or no evidence of Lyme?
Yep. So they want you to have 3 clear checks on the microscope.
Okay.
So that's their reasoning for coming back that many times. And yeah, definitely that second time I went, I was on the edge of my seat because I'm like, is this working? Is this stuff out of my blood? And it was. I got my clear checks. They told me that I was Lyme free and I could go on home and that, you know, I wouldn't have to come back. And we wanted to have another child. And so I got the okay for that too. So yeah, that last appointment there was an amazing appointment. And I thought, good, you know, I'll put this in my past and move on with my life.
Right.
And you felt completely fine. I mean, you had no body aches, you know, no brain fog, energy was good.
Yeah, I felt the best I had ever felt.
That's awesome.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And so it's continued until now?
No.
Okay. No. I kind of felt a little hesitancy in your voice. So, okay. So you got 3 clear dark fields and you're feeling great. You go back home.
Yep. So it was, trying to think how much longer later. I want to say it was like 4 months later after that last visit, I started getting this horrible, like, cystic rash all over my neck. And I mean, I can't even describe it. I mean, it looked like it had like major chicken pox, but it was like hard.
Wow.
And it burned. It didn't itch, but there's a burning. I went into the doctors numerous times to try to figure it out, and they would prescribe creams. Finally, they put me on an oral medication. Nothing was helping. I mean, the rash or whatever it was just angry. Come to find out, I was then in what's called the aftermath of Lyme, where your whole system, you know, had been attacked for so long. You get healed, you get the Lyme out of your system, and then all of your organs and everything are left sitting there like, okay, what do we do now? What had happened was things got really worse. I was having panic attacks, anxiety. It was almost like all of my past childhood trauma, everything negative that I had happen in my life, like, came back. I had horrible liver pain. There were times that I would get just doubled over in pain. And I drove myself to the hospital one day because it was so severe. They hospitalized me and, you know, ran IVs to get fluids going and everything. And I was having hormonal issues too. But there again, all of my tests, scans, everything were completely normal. They could not find one thing that was wrong. They ran liver panel tests, everything. And it was fine. And that was such a traumatic experience because then they were looking at each other saying, well, we need to send her to behavioral health.
Wow. Did you happen to mention that you just went through Lyme treatment?
At that time, I did not, because it was so hard to explain. I mean, I was so ashamed of it, I think. And I didn't want people to know about it.
Okay.
Especially where, you know, going to a different, going out of the country, you know.
Right.
I had dealt with doctors before, and it's like, you try to explain something to them and they either get upset at you or don't believe you.
Yeah.
Because it was before, I mean, I've had doctors tell me that maybe it's just all in my head. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to stop feeling sorry for myself and do what they tell me to do.
Well, especially since they couldn't find a solution before, and then you did what they didn't tell you to do, meaning you went to Mexico and you got better.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you determine that it was kind of post Lyme that you were dealing with?
Yep. So, I refused to be sent off, and my family absolutely refused it. They're like, "No, we are taking you home. We refuse to think that you're crazy."
So they're actually going to send you off to some institution or some hospital, or what? When you say send off, what does that mean?
To behavioral health.
To behavioral health. So you would be kind of isolated for behavioral health.
Wow. Yes.
Well, thank goodness your parents stepped in and knew that's not what you needed, because unfortunately, many people do go through the mental health facilities for quite some time because they even start to believe that they're crazy when it's really just Lyme.
And that's where I was too. I mean, laying in the hospital, I thought, maybe I am crazy. Maybe I need to just accept this, you know? And it was very traumatic. So my family, because anytime I would push on my liver, and the doctor even did it too, she pushed on my liver and I came up out of the bed. It was so painful. My parents took me back down to Mexico again. By the time we made it to the doctor's office, I was completely head to toe jaundice.
Wow.
So the doctors were not able to pick up that you had itch. So your bilirubin and everything looked fine, and they weren't able to pick up that the gallbladder maybe wasn't emptying appropriately or anything like that.
Nope, everything looked normal.
Huh.
And so it was, I don't know, within 15 minutes of sitting in the Mexico office that one morning, he knew right away what it was. He said I was in, I don't want to call it liver failure, but liver toxicity. And he said everything I was experiencing can be caused from that liver not working.
Okay.
So what did they do? I mean, because that's a pretty urgent situation. So they needed to have kind of a strong intervention.
Yep. They immediately got me started on all of their treatments that I had gone through before.
Okay.
So I am
the chelation, ionic foot bath, massage, and those type of things.
Yes. And I believe I did not do the chelation because it can be harder on the liver. So we avoided that, but we did all of the other treatments, and they implemented ozone therapy for me during that visit.
Okay. But the ozone through your blood?
Yes.
Okay.
And how did you respond to that? I mean, did you start to kind of feel relief all of us, fairly quickly, or were you still struggling?
Yeah, it was actually after that first day, I felt a lot better. I actually got a really good night's sleep that first night after getting the treatments. And then I felt pretty good that next day. But then after a few days, it's like all of the emotions, you know, everything was stirring up again.
It's traumatic. I mean, this is extremely traumatic. And then,
Very.
I mean, you're facing them being taken away into an institution where you have no control over yourself, and in fact the medication that they going to put you on is going to make it harder for you to be able to regulate yourself. And here in reality you're dealing with liver that was failing.
Yes.
So that, I mean, that's traumatic. You know, to,
very traumatic, especially at such a young age.
Yeah. So how old were you then when this was taking place?
Gosh, I want to say probably, that was in 2018,
2019-ish. Okay, so about 3 years ago.
Later 20s then, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then, just like when you initially went to Mexico, the first couple of days you felt great, and then about the third day, you started feeling worse?
Yep.
Okay, and were you there again for 5 days?
Thinking back, I think that was a shorter trip. We kind of figured out the issue, got what I needed, and then came home. I think we were there for 3 days.
Okay. And so you got sent home with all your supplements and the different protocols that they wanted you to do.
Yep.
And kind of just went through the same, down the same road. And so did you start feeling better?
Yes. I got back to completely normal and feeling really good again. We got the liver healed up, and yeah, as soon as we got like all the toxins and stuff cleansed out of the liver, everything on my skin cleared up right away.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
So, so was it just that one treatment that was needed and then you cleared all that out and now you've been fine since?
No, there's still more to the, a lot more to the story. I continued back at home here. I continued the foot baths. I did those once a week to keep detoxing. And cleaned up my eating again and was doing really well. And then it was in May of 2019, I had a down spiral again. And I was like too exhausted, as tired of going to Mexico, you know, leaving my child and my husband and traveling and trying to figure this out. I mean, I was in a very dark place when May of 2019 hit me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that feeling of wanting to just give up, I completely can relate to that. For people that say that, because it's just, it is so frustrating on so many levels, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically. And then the hardest part for me was watching my family have to go through this with me. So instead of going to Mexico this time, there is a provider in Omaha, Nebraska, Sarah Krott. She has a clinic, Omaha Health Therapy Center. And that was another thing, Sandhills Wellness in Atkinson, Nebraska. I was going there to do, they offer all the same IV treatments as Mexico does. So I was very fortunate for them because they're an hour away from where I'm at. And so I was able to keep up on all my IVs too during that time. So anyways, we got in touch with Omaha, and she does a lot of the same things that Mexico offers too. All the integrative approaches, and she got me on track. She was very thorough and so supportive and understanding of what I was telling her and going through, and she put me on protocols. So the things that were struggling at that point was my brain again. My gut health, my gut was just horrible. I mean, full of candida. And that's very common, you know, with and after Lyme, and my hormones again, and my adrenals. So those were kind of the main things that we focused on healing. And that took, it was probably 3 months of healing for that. Okay. And I was doing.
But you felt like you were, as she was working with you, that you were coming out of that dark space, you know, mentally.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Every area, I'm trying to think, my nervous system, adrenals, brain, my gut health, my liver, the hormones, the sleeping issues, all that stuff. Everything was getting focused on. Right.
Wonderful. And so have you then since then just kind of been touching up with her to kind of make sure that you're on top of everything, or did you just kind of do that push and then now you've been fine since?
Yep. I stay in contact with her on a regular basis, just making sure everything's good. I go to Sandhills Wellness. I was going once a week, and then it was a few months later. So we had actually gotten in contact with another doctor in Nevada, Dr. Schallenberger. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, Frank Schallenberger.
Yeah. So he kind of works along with Sarah with some things. So we kind of added him into my protocol with stuff, and he added in the Frankenhauser injection for my female hormone issues. And we added some amino acid therapy in with that too. And it was 3 or 4 months later, we found out we were expecting with our second child.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah. So that was a miracle because I didn't know if I'd be able to have any more children after everything that we had gone through. And yeah, at that point I had an amazing pregnancy. I had a really good delivery and a healthy baby boy.
Oh, fantastic.
What a wonderful resolution. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you're feeling good.
Yes. I have done very well. I did get COVID. It was back in October. I will say since COVID, I had kind of a down spiral again with that.
A lot of people did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that or if they got the shot, you know, so either one's gonna put people down.
Yep. And so that I'm doing treatments again for that. To get back on track. But yeah, before COVID, I would have said 100%.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's a thing is that you're dealing with, live organisms, and it's not like, yeah, you know, now it's all done. Yeah. We're still living. We're still exposed to things and we still have stressors. We're still, you know, exposed to other pathogens. And so all of that is still what we're dealing with. And we just need to maintain.
Yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like before you got COVID that you were doing like a maintenance program. You were probably continuing your foot baths.
And just... I was doing my foot baths. I tried doing them once a week. I wasn't always keeping up on them like I should have been. Ozone therapy has been the absolute key for me. And I'm saying ozone IV, the ozone sauna, and ozone insufflation. That has been the very key to what makes me feel better.
Right. Ozone's pretty great.
Yeah. My parents actually purchased a ozone sauna. And so I was very fortunate for that because then I was able to keep up on that. I was doing that 3 times a week.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the insufflations are very powerful. Yeah. They're really powerful.
Yes.
I did an interview with Dr. Sylvia Menendez. She's one of the leaders in the world in regards to ozone research. And she's all for, the impact and how you can really boost your health just through insufflations.
Yeah.
So great.
Well, that is great. You've had a bumpy road up and down. Yeah. But it sounds like you are on the right track now. So.
Yeah, it was very frustrating because each time I thought that I was healed and fine and could move on with my life, and it's like something else would flare up again.
Yeah.
And so you'd have to go back to the drawing board to figure it out.
And that's the thing, is that it's, you know, when you deal with these kind of things, you like I said, I mean, you think once you're done, you're done, and then you can just move on, and now, oh, good, it's behind me. But it's that continual maintenance. So you almost have to recognize that you need to be in maintenance mode. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are going to be dips, and you're just got to deal with them. But since you've dealt with them in the past, you're going to be able to deal with them in the future. It's continual effort.
It definitely is, yeah. Even with your diet, you know, from your diet to detoxing, it just is something that we kind of just got to stick with to stay healthy. And it's worth it.
Yeah. And that's just how you guys exactly describe it. That's how Sarah, my provider, has explained it to me. Like, you know, this will be probably something to have to maintain.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. I mean, this was, what a powerful journey, what a powerful story. And I mean, can you imagine if your parents would not have been there, and then you would have been in a, you know, kind of in a facility, behavioral facility. And I mean,
just drug you there.
They just drug you. And then
that's probably gonna, really do act crazy.
Yeah, you're going to act crazy, and then there's not going to be any solution. And yeah, so can you imagine how those little turns in life, you know, how what a huge impact they have. And you know, your second child is probably would not have been here if that would
happen. I think of those things often, and it breaks my heart because I'm one of the very fortunate ones. I have an system. And I'm just going to say, without God, without my faith, without my family, my friends, my support system, and all the doctors that have helped me and believed me, I would not be here today.
No. Right.
And my heart goes out for all those that don't know, or that don't have answers, and maybe don't have the support system that I've had.
Mm-hmm. Or the resources that you had.
The resources,
yeah. Your family was familiar with the place in Mexico. And, you know, that sounds like it's kind of what turns you around. So, yeah, exactly. It is hard. But whether you've got support or not, there's, you know, it's so worth fighting till the end, for sure.
Yeah. And that's, I've had a career in, I was a probation officer for a while. And then I worked as a mental health counselor for a couple years. And, you know, just seeing some of those people and, you know, some of the behavioral issues that do come up, it's like, okay, let's find the root problem rather than treating these symptoms or, you know, disciplining them for the behavior that's happening. You know, it made me wonder, you know, what's going on in their blood?
Exactly. Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so, who knows, you might be able to help diagnose people in the future. You know, with just a random conversation, it does happen. So,
yeah, I've had some good conversations with quite a few people, and my heart just really goes out to everyone going through this because it is very difficult. And it's hard because you may look totally fine on the outside, but inside, you're hurting.
Yeah.
And it especially doesn't help when you get called crazy or you get told that it's in your head, you know?
No, exactly. Yeah, because you're not feeling well enough to be able to say no to that. Yeah, so.
Yep.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. This was wonderful.
Yes,
this was amazing.
Great journey. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
And I'm so glad that you're in good hands with the practitioners that you're working with.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've created some really close relationships with all of them. And gosh, I thank you guys for this time and being able to share my story in another way. I've got my blog and my strength comes through my writing. talking about things are kind of hard for me sometimes to get my words out with what I'm trying to get across. Mm-hmm. So this gives me a better opportunity. And
yes, and we will post your blog and your page on the podcast for you so people know where to find you.
I appreciate that. On my blog, I tell my full story in major detail on there, kind of in a timeline manner. It's just easier for me to write about it. Because right now I'm like, I have so much information to tell and get out there. I know I'm in so many pieces here, but.
Well, and it's also really hard to, you know, get 5 years, 10 years, 20 years of your story into just a little short time. So, we definitely have to condense it a little bit. So if the listeners want to hear the more in-depth, we'll share your page so they know how to find you to get that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for this time.
My
absolutely.
Pleasure. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.